Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Does anybody, any of the kiddos know what today is? What is it? Palm Sunday. Man, how exciting is it? What you got, Emma?
It's very exciting.
Very excited. Okay. Well, I'm excited also. This morning I woke up and I realized that we are celebrating the official start to the greatest event in history, not just in the history of this earth, but of all time, before the earth was even created, the greatest event. Can we even comprehend how amazing this week was? I had this idea. I told Ralton this morning, I really wanted to go out and find some palm leaves and him come in, ride on a little miniature donkey in here. But he didn't have the flowing brown hair and the blue eyes that we see in all the pictures. So it just wouldn't have made so much sense. They'd have been like, how'd Jesus get bald so quick, you know? Sorry, I had to throw that in there. But man, what an exciting week it is to celebrate, to usher in the true King, the one and only true King. I am so excited. As a matter of fact, one of my things this week is I really want to go onto our Facebook page and onto my personal page and post each day just exactly what Jesus did through this holy week that led up to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. If it wasn't for what we are getting ready to celebrate, and that is the death and resurrection of our Savior, we would really be hopeless. We wouldn't have anything. See, because we know that we can't enter God's kingdom, we can't enter heaven without having Jesus. And those things are very, very basic things in our thought process. However, as Christians, as we learn today, as we finish up in Hebrews chapter 5 and start chapter 6, we learn that there is this maturity aspect that comes into the knowledge of Christ. See, so many of us will get into this idea that we know the basics, right? We can say the basics, but we don't truly know Christ. We don't truly have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We go back to things that were foundational, but don't realize and know how to mature through them. As a matter of fact, I asked this morning, I went back and said, hey, I got a question, Natasha. Do you have any formula? I was going to bring some formula up here, but apparently Chad stole it and drank it all this morning, so she didn't have any formula with her. But I was going to bring that up here and say, how appetizing does this formula look to you guys? And some of you guys are like, man, I don't want to drink any formula. That's weird. But do you remember seeing a child that had a bottle mixed up for them and they were hungry? Do you remember seeing their eyes light up? Do you remember seeing them grasp for the bottle? Do you remember when that formula was taken away, the screams and the cries because they needed more of it? Do you remember that sight? That is that look that we have when we first see Christ in our lives working. However, if you go talk to any doctor, they give you a really quick warning. They say, hey, don't go into the solid foods before they're ready. Because if you go in and you give them something really, really, really solid and they haven't yet taken in the fullness of the formula or the milk, they won't be prepared. They'll stop drinking the milk and they'll just go into the meat or go into the little puffs. Does anybody remember the little puffs? If you don't have any, they are still, that's one of the few baby things that I'm like, hey, they're pretty good. But the little puffs, if you ever had a kid and you gave them a puff, they didn't want the milk anymore. They went straight to the puffs, yet they didn't get the full nourishment of the milk. They didn't fully get what they needed. See, it's like coming into church and hearing about Christ and knowing that we talk about a Savior and knowing all the stories and yet not having the fullness of the gospel placed into your life. And yet saying, I want to go straight into being a theologian. I'm done with the milk. I want to go straight into being a theologian. And all of a sudden, instead of Christ working in our lives, our brain comes up with a religion that sounds like Christianity, but we never had enough of the milk. We never got into a relationship with Christ. We just got into a knowledge of Him. We never became mature in our relationship with Christ. And that's where we get into in our text today. As we read, we need to remember that we were just talking about Jesus being the high priest. And I said, hey, we're going to talk a little bit about Melchizedek, right? But we're not going to talk about him yet. And there's a reason for that, because chapter 5 and 6 tells you why we didn't talk about him yet. Because in order to understand something new, these Jews that the author in the book of Hebrews is talking about, they got to fully understand who Christ is. You can't go on beyond Christ without understanding and having a relationship with Christ. If not, it's the same thing as giving that child those puffs the first time and them literally starving to death because they never got what they needed in the milk. But there is another problem. The other problem is, when do we start getting into more? When do we start maturing? And yet this author says, hey, you're not ready to mature yet because first I have to establish the basics. I got to give you this milk and you're not ready for Melchizedek yet. You're not ready to go beyond because yet you still are just Jews. You are Jews that may be faithful, may know everything about the Jewish customs, but yet the new covenant, which is something that you've studied about and know about and hope to see in the future, just like knowing about steaks, but still being that child in that basket, knowing about baked potatoes and steaks and everything else, because you know about them doesn't mean you're ready for them because you haven't got to the place yet. Now, as I read, I see this author here, and I was telling Elijah this morning, it so much more confirms to me that this is either somebody that has studied or been a part of Paul's life or Paul himself. I said it once that I probably lean a little more towards Apollo being the author of Hebrews. We don't really know that for sure, right? But I lean more towards somebody that's definitely been in that Pauline lineage there in the teachings of, because he does something here for the third time. He's in the middle of a conversation and pulls a little bit of a Kirill Galloway here. It's like, wait a minute. Let's stop and let's go back. And then he gets right into him. You're not even ready for Melchizedek. As a matter of fact, he goes in and says, starting in Hebrews 5, starting in verse 11, says, we have a great deal to say about this, and it is difficult to explain. Since you have become too lazy to understand, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principle of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. Remember, this is a letter, so we're going to go on into chapter 6 because it flows right in here. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, faith in God, teaching about ritual washings, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And we will do this if God permits. As we're studying these words, it's all of a sudden that this author just goes, hey, I've got this great conversation. We're talking about Christ. We're talking about the way that you know Christ. We're talking about him possibly being according to the order of Melchizedek. We're getting really in depth in this. And then all of a sudden, boom, he comes in and says, wait a minute. I'm giving you all this information, and yet we have a great deal to say about all that. There's so much to say about everything he says, everything that's going on, and we can get more, much more in depth, but we have a problem. You're getting so much more in depth, and yet you don't even know Christ. Now remember, he's talking to Jews. He's talking to people that are faithful followers, and also he's talking to them who proclaim to somewhat follow Christianity for a short moment of time, and they're in this battle back and forth. Do I stay with my Jewish customs? Do I go into Christianity one way or another? It's like this. I know there is a creator, but beyond that, I don't know. I just know there's a God. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? I know there's a God. I know there's a creator, but beyond that, I'm not really clear. If I live good enough life, then we're good. The Jews know God. They know the Creator. They know his promises. And here's the problem. It's like knowing the path, but not having the bridge to get to that path. They know everywhere that they're supposed to go. They know where they want to be. They want to be in God's presence. They know that all the rules that have been lined up, but they're missing something. They're missing grace and a Savior. Because of their faith, they can't get there. See, Christ is the bridge. He is what allows us to be saved. Yet these Jews are saying, hey, we're still faithful. We still follow the Creator. We're still doing all the laws and everything else. He says, we have a great deal to say about this, and it is difficult to explain, since you have become too lazy to understand. Too lazy to understand. If you have a different version, you may have the word that you have become dull, right? But that word dull, or that word lazy, if you translate that back into the Greek, we go with nothros, right? And that word nothros means to have no push, right? It's to have no push into anything. It's just kind of just there, right? You're just going on. You really don't have any idea. It's like coming in and saying, I want to follow Christ. I want to be led in a direction. I want to go out and know Jesus. I want to be saved. But you know what? I'm just going to chill out right here and watch everybody else do the work. I don't really want to get involved with everything else. I've got too much on my plate anyways. I'm just going to sit right here and just be dull. I'm not going to have any shine to me. I was one of these guys at one point in my life that the ministry just seemed so daunting and so hard that I kind of just wanted to fade into the congregation. Anybody ever been there? Be honest. Anybody ever been there? Like, you just want to fade out and just like, I want to go and I just don't want to be in anything. I just want to sit. Well, that's the problem, is when we become dull and we become lazy, we have no push. And if we have no push, then the writer of Hebrews says that we have no maturity. We can claim Christ all we want. We can say that we know him, but if we don't really have him in a relationship with us, if we don't have something that shows us a desire, if we aren't excited about it, then what is it? What is it? If we don't have a relationship with Christ, we just have a knowledge of Christ, it means that we have nothing. We can sit back and just tell some stories of something that we don't really believe in, that we don't really know. Some of the best, some of the people that have the most knowledge in the world, and I'm sure that Elijah's dealt with these people before, you see people that have all the knowledge in the Bible. They study theology. They know every aspect of everything in that book, and then they don't have a relationship with Christ, and it's all for naught. It means nothing. We need a relationship first. We need to not be dull. We need to have push. We need to have desire. As we go in, you guys know that it's been talking about, we've been talking about baseball a lot because it's baseball season. We're covered up with baseball. There's a lot of baseball kids in here, a lot of baseball parents in here. And we've had some conversation, and Chad and I were talking about our kids and the way that they grow up and everything. And it's like, hey, I just want my kid to come in and ask me sometime, can we just go out and do something? Can they come push me into a situation where I have to go out there when it's freezing cold and snowing like it was yesterday to go and play some baseball? Like, I desire that. How much more should we desire as Christians for us to have kids that are raised up in a way that come in and say, hey, Dad, Mom, I need you to take me to church. I need you to open up this Bible. I need you. How amazing would it be to not be dull or lazy in our households, but to have a zeal for Christ, to have an excitement for Christ, a push instead of a stagnant relationship? That's what we should desire, for us to really want to be out there, for our kids to desire to be there, for our homes to be filled. These Jews have just become lazy, you know, they're kind of in this wishy-washy place, and they're not pushing for anything. It says, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. I thought about doing this morning. I was going to ask, is anybody in here, and I go back to the baseball thing again, is anybody in here never picked up and thrown or caught a baseball? Anybody in here? Nobody? Maybe a couple here and there? Well, I got this idea, right? And I tell this to the parents out there. The first thing that you start when you get a little tiny toddler, right? You get them out there and you grab this ball and you come in and you just wait for that bat to make contact, right? And you give them just a little bit, you give them a little bit, you give them a little bit. But my question is, if we came in and we just sat with that underhand pitch, now they're 8 years old. Now they're 10 years old. Now they're 16 years old. Now they're 20 years old. When somebody comes in and says, all right, I've got a guy that can throw 85. I know you've only had this right here, but it's time to come in, and I'm gonna get this guy up here. He's going to pitch to you, and I expect you to hit it. How do we expect them to hit the ball when they have never been given anything else but this? How do we expect to be raised up in Christ when the deepest in the gospel we ever get is this? That. Jesus loves you. It isn't that this isn't needed. This is needed. Those pitches are needed. The basics are needed, but it's not enough. You have to get in. You have to get more involved. It's not good enough to just know how to do it. You've got to have that push. You've got to go in and have that zeal for it. You've got to go in and say, I want more. Now that I know the basics, now that I know how to have that relationship with Christ, now we want to go even further. Make no mistake, in this situation, the author here is making a big difference. He is not talking to Christians that are just, Christians. He's talking to people that are not saved, that may think they are because they have never fully gotten the milk and they have never matured beyond the basics. We're talking about being saved or not saved. Please don't make this gray area. There is no gray area. As a matter of fact, whenever we were reading in the book of John in our studies, one night we came down here and we said this thing, you are either living in life or you are living in death. You are not living in some middle ground. Either you had the maturity, either you had the basics, or you didn't. Just because you think that you know everything, if you don't have that relationship with Christ and you haven't got the fullness in that relationship, That milk that we're talking about, the milk, the basics, is that relationship with Jesus. If we do not have that, we are not ready to go beyond. And if we're not ready to go beyond, then that means that we don't truly have that relationship with Christ, and that puts us in a different category. The author is talking to Jews. As religious as they are, and as much as they probably believe the Old Testaments, and they may have, at this point in time, probably weren't continue on with the sacrifices, but as many sacrifices as gone on before that, it didn't really matter. The old law is gone. There is a new covenant, and the only way to enter into the kingdom of heaven is through Jesus Christ. And if you do not have a relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have nothing. Nothing. You can be a theologian or somebody that's never opened up the Bible in their entire lives, and it doesn't matter. Your destination is the same place. There is no maturity if you do not have Jesus. And he's talking to these Jews, and he's saying, don't think that you can straddle the fence, because straddling the fence is getting you nowhere. You always fall off on the wrong side. You never get to conquer. We cannot straddle the fence in our relationship with Christ. It says, now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness, because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. And we're not talking about just knowing the difference between good and evil, actually being in a relationship with Christ, being able to have the wisdom that God gives us in that relationship. Goes on in the beginning of chapter 6, says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, faith in God, teaching about ritual washings, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. All of those things sound unbelievable. When we go in there and we look at all of these things, we see the way in which the Jews were living here, right? But they were doing so many things. They were laying on of hands. And in this situation, what we're talking about in the laying on of hands is that when they would bring in the sacrifices in the temple, they would actually lay their hands onto the sacrifices. That would get ownership into those sacrifices. And yet when we go into the new covenant, that changes from a sacrificial system into asking the Holy Spirit to come on to our lives. It's something that's beyond us. It's not taking control, but praying over and asking God to intercede for us. Not just for a situation where we go in and said, this is what I have to offer, this is what I have to give, but showing that we have nothing to offer and Christ has everything to offer. That we have nothing that we can do, but Christ has everything. That we desire the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and to give us that knowledge and that ability to be able to change lives, to go beyond our rules and regulations, to not just have a washing or a cleansing in those ritualistic situations, right? When we talk about that, we're not talking about the Greek word that tells us that talking about baptism, but a literal washing is what he's talking about. Not a baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about a literal washing in the ritual system of laying down sacrifices. That's not what we're wanting. He's saying you need to go away from these things. Stop worrying about all of those things. Stop talking about, hey, I'm sorry, and leaving it at that. All those sound great. It sounds like we can do a lot of great things, but we have forgot Christ. As a church, and we get into these situations, we sometimes want to hold on to those things that just give us so much comfort. We want to hold on to the things that we think make us better Christians, and we hold on to those things in the way that the Jews do, and to these traditions and to these things that really have nothing laid out for us. And then all of a sudden those traditions get so big, and they get bigger and bigger, and we joke around, you know, all of a sudden wearing white socks and some white handkerchief in the baptismal means more than the actual baptism itself. Sometimes sitting in the perfect seat that we're in means more than actually coming to the service. Sometimes making sure that the last song is this last song becomes more than coming in and worshiping God. Sometimes coming in and saying, hey, this version of my Bible or this thing that we have done forever means more to us than actually serving Christ does. And we become some cultish people that make up a religion on our own and think that if we follow that religion, that since we're living by rules that nobody else does, it makes us greater than all them. But I'm here to tell you, Christ isn't here to lock you down. He is here to set you free. He is here to give you grace. He is here to love you. He was here to die and pay for the sins that me and you couldn't pay for. He loves us. He cares for us. Why do we keep going back to the things that separate us? Why do we keep going back to the traditions that hold us away? Why do we keep going into the law that keeps us in death and not into the new covenant that brings us life? That is what the author is saying. Why do we keep doing that? Why do we come into a situation where we roll over and over and over and over again, thinking that something's going to be different? Why are we not ready to go in and have something a little bit more? Why do we not give it up? As a matter of fact, in chapter 6, verse 1, whenever we talk about, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings, that word, aphemi, means to forsake. Literally, to go away from all those things that brought death into our lives. See, these guys only followed half of the good news, half of the Bible. They forgot about the Gospels. When it came to the Old Testament, don't think that they didn't know. The tradition was to know every aspect of this. As a matter of fact, when he speaks Melchizedek, there's no doubt that they know who Melchizedek is. And yet he says, you're not ready for the things that you know. You're not ready to get to those things. We can talk about all the theology in the world. Once saved, always saved, right? We can talk about that if we want to. We can talk about predestination. We can talk about free will. We can talk about all of those things. But those things don't matter if you don't know Christ. We can get into every discussion there is out there. And if you don't know who Jesus is, then what good does it do? What good does it do? It's like going out to my house, right? And anybody ever went out and tried to find a water line, right? Maybe you have a little break in the water line and you're like, I'm going to dig down here. I'm going to fix this water line. So you go out there and you start digging, right? And you think you're in the right place because it sounds good and it's the way that you would think because you've been taught all along that this is the way the water line flows, right? So you go in and you start digging and you dig 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 and you wonder when you get a 50-foot deep hole why the water line's not there, and somebody says you probably didn't dig deep enough. So you dig in some more and you dig some more and you dig some more and you get to a point where you just can't dig anymore. You can't see any more light. Man, you put a lot of work into it. You got in there and you dug a real big hole. You did a lot of things that looked like you were looking for a water line, but you never sat back and said, maybe I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe I didn't go back and see where the actual need is for me to dig. And you worked yourself to death, and it was an impressive hole, but it got you nowhere. It's the same way whenever you think that you're going to go to church and you do all those things and you live your life in a churchy way, but you never go and you find Christ and you never come into a relationship with Christ and you never allow yourself to say, maybe what I've been doing is wrong. You just keep on doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. But then it's also in the same way that we go out there and some of us go in and we don't get into a mature situation. Instead of going out with a shovel, we go in with a spoon. Anybody ever seen the deal where somebody's digging, right? And they dig a little scoop and they throw it back and they dig a little scoop and they throw it back and then the mound comes up. And as you dig a scoop and you throw it back, that dirt just comes right back in. And you get stuck and you never get past that area. Every scoop you throw up, it falls right back in the hole. We never mature. We never get out of a situation and say, God, now that I know you, I need to do things differently so that I can know you even more and even more and even more. We go back to that pitch that I was talking about and we just keep throwing the underhanded ball. And then we expect when we throw the underhanded ball that one day we're going to be able to bat fourth in the big leagues. We just throw another weak pitch in there and expect somebody to be able to gather something out of it. And then all of a sudden you realize you're not even playing baseball. You're just going out and doing something repeated over and over again. Sometimes we come into this church and we say, hey, we want all of the in-depth, but we never get back to the basics. We never have that true relationship with Christ. But let me tell you, today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's time to finally get on the true milk. God needs us to desire to get beyond a situation, not just to be content in our path to death. Right? He needs us to be able to mature. He wants us to be able to mature. He wills us to be able to mature in our relationship with Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then come and take a sip. Get involved. Realize that it's good. But be careful, because some of us that are sitting here diving into our prime rib today and our bodies can't even digest it because we never had the milk. We never got into a relationship with Christ. We know all about theology. We know of every, some of us may even be able to have entire books of the Bible memorized, but we can't tell you what they truly say because we don't have Christ in our life. If you desire today to have Christ in your life, then cry out to him. Know that some 2,000 years ago, as we start into this Holy Week, as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, the ushering in of the Savior of the world, know that Jesus came here for you, that he laid his life down for you, that he loves you, and he is the only path to the kingdom. If you desire to be in a relationship with Christ, then we can go on beyond the milk. But we have to have that first. So we've got some elders, we've got some deacons. If anybody needs to talk afterwards and say, how do I come into a relationship with Christ? We would love to talk to you. I would love to talk to you after church today. But let us pray, and I ask as we go out through this week and we really focus in, that we study and that we love this week, that we desire to know what Christ is doing into our lives, and that we can grow out of the milk and into a mature relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for loving me and for being with us today, for loving us and being with us, Lord. I ask that we don't just get stuck in that routine of just continuing on and continue on, that insanity, Lord, that doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. Lord, I ask that we can take that, the fullness of that milk and be nourished. But Lord, as our time to come off the milk comes, that we are able to digest greater things, that we are able to get into the meat and become the teachers that the writer of Hebrews says that we should be when we get into that relationship and grow. Lord, that we can then not just be the ones that take the milk, but that we can go in and help feed the milk to others, Lord, that we can go and proclaim the gospel, and not just the knowledge of the gospel, but the intimacy of the gospel, that we can share how it changes our lives and how, God, how you come into our lives and how you make us something new, that we aren't just polished up, but we are totally remade, Lord. I ask that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, that you allow them the ability to be buried in their old sinful ways and to be born into your creation, Lord. Allow them to mature in a relationship with you. Allow this holy week for us every second of every day and every prayer that we have and every conversation we have that we glorify you in it, Lord. And as we go into our service on Friday night and we know that that was the day that you laid down your life for us, Lord, and how the world cannot understand that when a life is taken, how we can call it the Good Friday, Lord, but it's truly the Good Friday because that is the day that you showed your love for us on that cross, Lord. Allow us to come into that meeting here, into that service here, and to worship you as the true body of Christ, as the true church, Lord. And then let us have the celebration of a lifetime when we wake up Sunday morning. Let us have that same excitement that the disciples had when they saw you walk into that room and knew the grave could not hold you. And let us go out and share it with the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.